Welcome to the Doug Peterson Show,
brought to you by the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles.
JP Shadrick and former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman discuss the latest Jaguars news with the head coach. The Doug Peterson Show starts right now.
Welcome in the Doug Peterson Show, presented by the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, no Doug Peterson in the preseason. Schedules are wild in training camp. They're getting ready for preseason week two. The Pittsburgh Steelers come to town. It's the third Jaguars game of the preseason, of course, after the Hall of Fame game and then the Browns game. The Steelers this week and then next week at Atlanta. It's a 7 o'clock kickoff Saturday at TIAA Bank Field. Jeff Loggeman, good afternoon.
What time's kickoff?
7:07 officially.
Ah, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Looking forward to that. And I bet you the Pittsburgh Steelers faithful will show up. Jaguars fans will be loud and proud. It should be a good atmosphere, especially with the starters playing into the first half and maybe to halftime. That'll be a lot of fun.
Those towels are ugly, by the way. I'm not a fan.
Well, you don't like teal towels?
No. The Steelers' terrible towels.
Oh, well, yeah, that's teal towels here.
Okay, good.
Not yellow.
Yeah, good. Good. Keep
who
those
invented,
out
who invented the towel?
Myron Cope.
Ah.
Yes.
Good job.
That's right.
Just seeing if JP was on it.
My favorite Cope line is yoy and double yoy. Oh, I don't even know what that means, but it's hilarious.
He was a legendary Pittsburgh Steelers broadcaster for many years.
Hey, so it's preseason week two, and many teams, at least, consider this the dress rehearsal game.
Some.
Doug Peterson spoke today, or before practice, in fact, and was asked how long the starters will play this Saturday.
From a playing standpoint, I definitely want to see the starters go into the second quarter again this week. I think our defense needs to be on the field a little bit more. They've played well in the first two games. They just haven't played long enough. So I definitely want to see them play a little bit more. You know, offensively, if we can do the things we did last week and sort of clean up some of the execution things, into the second quarter.
So to Doug Peterson's point, the defense, last week, Trayvon Walker played 9 snaps in that game. The defense got off the field quickly. They did their job. They got a 3-and-out, a takeaway. They just weren't on the field a whole lot. So, you know, it'd be nice to see them a little bit more, just see them operate as a defense.
Well, I want to see the starters regardless. I mean, not because they only had 9 snaps against Cleveland. I want to be entertained with the frontline guys. And the longer the look that you can get this week, the more comfortable you kind of feel as a fan, right? If they have a good performance, you're like, yeah.
You know, it kind of felt that way last week, right? Even though it was just a quarter or whatever.
And I believe that
felt good.
Can you create any momentum going in the regular season with the preseason? I think you can in some ways.
How?
Well, let me correct myself or kind of change it from this perspective. You can create a lot of negativity by poor performance in the preseason and a lot of doubt if you don't play well. Can you create momentum and positivity going in the regular season? Sure. I think everything matters. And for a young team that's trying to establish a new system and a new coach and a new way of doing business and a new culture, I think all of that stuff matters. And you look to the Baltimore Ravens, okay? They've created an incredible culture of winning that was established in the preseason. How many consecutive games?
Like it's years.
19, 20, or
it's years.
I mean, it's
over 20 now.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all that stuff matters, and so I think that this game matters, and I'm excited to see the starting guys, and hopefully Pittsburgh play some of their starters into this game, because you want to have your guys going against their guys. You don't want to have your guys going, and all of a sudden Pittsburgh's not playing anybody. Could that happen? Sure, it could. Mike Tomlin might have a different philosophy about this week. He might want to play his guys the third game, or he might not want to play his guys at all. I don't know. But I think that either way, I'm excited about seeing our guys.
Logs, you know, earlier this week on Wednesday, the Jaguars offense had some issues against the Jags defense. There were some interceptions, some drops, just some miscommunication in the backfield in a couple of instances. Just was not the smoothest of practices, as Trevor Lawrence put it. And then even today, it was a half-speed tempo today. But it kind of felt like, oh, we're still kind of coming off that bad, you know, performance on the practice field on Wednesday. How do you snap out of that as an offense? And where do you begin with that? Does it start with 16?
Well, I think it starts with everybody. And the challenge is always with offense is consistency. The great offenses always are consistent. And when you have a new coaching staff, you have a new system, you have new players, you have a new environment, all of this is so new, it takes time to build that. And the process of building is going to continue through the preseason, and then also it continues into the regular season. And, you know, you hope that the consistency that you're striving for will start to show up. And that's not easy to do. The reality was yesterday's practice, Wednesday's practice, tough? Yeah. I mean, it wasn't a great offensive practice, but there's also the other perspective, okay? The glass is half full, JP, and that's –
Your glass is half full.
Well, I'm going to give you a different approach.
I like
that. Defense had a great practice on Wednesday.
Yes, they did.
Right? I mean, you could look at it from that perspective. And that's the challenge of the preseason, and that's – sometimes I've been on teams to where you've had – you know, what practices that didn't feel good, and then you had a marvelous year or marvelous week, and then sometimes you had a practice that was amazing, and then you came out on the game time and you didn't play well or you didn't play well that year. So sometimes it's hard to gauge, and preseason games are probably one of the most difficult things to gauge success or the lack of success in the future off of. It's just sometimes it just makes no sense, just because you could have two completely different varied approaches from the teams that are coming together to play a game.
Yeah, you're not really planning at all for that team's scheme in a lot of instances. So
no, but the one thing that we saw happen on Wednesday, which was encouraging, was it wasn't a great practice. There were a lot of guys, and it was a grinder now. I mean, yes. that was a long practice.
Two and a half hours.
And hard. I mean, some guys, you know, had to look, appeared to leave practice because of dehydration or heat, whatever. And then after practice, the offense had a players-only meeting. And I don't know what was said. We're not privy to that, but you could kind of get the vibe that it was based on, hey, look, what we just had in practice was not okay. We need to be better than that. And no, I don't know exactly who started. I thought Dan Arnold might have been one of the guys, and then Trevor looked like he was talking. So, I mean, that's good stuff. When the players start taking ownership and the coaches don't feel like that they're the ones that always have to end up delivering the message, then you kind of know that you're making progress, because the players are the ones that have to carry the message and play the game.
You know, you don't want too many of those meetings, though, right? I mean, you have too many players-only meetings. That means things aren't going so well.
Yeah, well, I mean, you don't want to start having one of those things happen every week.
Right.
But winning
teams, baseball used to do that. They'd have these closed-door meetings and the clubhouse, players-only.
They're drinking beer in baseball.
They've lost for 2 weeks straight, and they're 20 games out of first. I mean, of course they're going to have team meetings, you know, and talk about it.
They're drinking beer in the locker room for those baseball meetings.
That's why they were 20 games out of first place,
yeah.
I think. But, you have too many of those that you know things are going the wrong way.
Let's limit
those.
But they have to strive for consistency. And then after that practice, Trevor met the media and he talked about that, specifically about the need to find consistency. And that's a challenge. And that's why you practice. That's why you play preseason games. If you just automatically just went out there and everything was consistent, what the hell are you practicing for? I mean, okay, you got it. You know, it doesn't happen that way. It takes time. And it's the same thing with the coaching staff. The coaching staff is still trying to find their rhythm with a lot of these new coaches that they're working with, and they're trying to find what works best for them from a daily structure standpoint and game planning standpoint and time management standpoint. You know, Mike Caldwell is probably in the same boat. I mean, here's a first-time defensive coordinator, you know, trying to do things that, you know, defensive coordinators do for, and he's doing it all for the very first time. Now, he's got some people that he can talk to, Bob Sutton. He can talk to Doug. He can talk to other coaches and get input. But, you know, it's a process, JP. It's a process for everybody.
Speaking of defense, we'll hear Doug Peterson and his thoughts on how long it might take to implement a new scheme on the defensive side of the ball. That's coming up, and we are off and running. This is the Doug Peterson Show on the Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back to the Doug Peterson Show, presented by the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles. J.P. Shadrick with Jeff Loggeman. No Doug Peterson in the preseason. They're over there meeting right now. They're getting ready for
working
Saturday's game. Grind mode, Logs.
So is today like the official breaking of camp?
I think that's early next week, right before the trip to Atlanta.
Okay.
I think they break out of the hotel and do all that before they go up there. And then once they're back, I think they're back.
But the segment of practices at Episcopal.
It's over.
Over.
All over. Today was the last day.
By the way, kudos to everybody for making that happen. That was what a great setup. What a great facility. And I know it was kind of a partnership with many, and the Jaguars went in there and did a lot of improvements, which is going to benefit Episcopal in the long term, because now they get three or two incredible fields out of it, which is awesome. But a great, great setup and kind of a little hidden gem. I didn't even know that even existed in that part of the world.
I know, right? I drive by there sometimes on beach, but you know,
it's like totally hidden.
Never been inside the gate. I see the gate, but I didn't know it was back there.
Yeah, it's totally hidden.
And tennis courts, and yeah, it's pretty nice.
Totally hidden. And the only thing that I'd like to see maybe next time is maybe some covered areas for us, JP, me and you personally.
I got some good sun though.
Shade.
I needed it.
You know, shade, you know.
Oh, yeah, I know what shade is. There was not much out there.
No, there was not.
Let's hear from Doug Peterson about the Episcopal experience for his football team. And, yeah, thanks a lot to the Episcopal School of Jacksonville, he says.
Even though this team has been built around the 34, there's some nuances in it, because it really plays like a four-down front. And you're moving parts around. You know, you got Trayvon and Josh who stay left and right. They don't necessarily trade sides. You got your inside backers that kind of stay left and right, and so, you know, understanding formation, some 3-4 teams will actually flip those outside and inside guys, so they're always strong and weak, and you know, it has some consistency that way. But you know, that's the one thing about our scheme here and what Mike has brought, is that they can stay on that one side and learn that one side. But again, they're, you know, the tight end could be to them, tight end could be away. And then there's some details of just where the front needs to be set. And you know, and obviously the run lanes and the run fits and where the safeties insert. And, you know, so a lot of that takes time with just the details and the practice of everything.
That's Doug Peterson on the timing it takes to get a defense installed. New unit, new group. We'll hear from Doug on the Episcopal campus coming up just a little bit later.
But interesting what he said right there, and he's talking about Trayvon and Josh being outside linebackers, and do you flip-flop them? I think all the great players that have rushed the passer typically have had a side. When you watched the Pittsburgh Steelers do it with Kevin Green and Greg Lloyd, you know, Kevin was left side, Greg was right side.
All the time.
Yeah. Did they flip-flop? I mean, maybe once in a blue moon. T.J. Watt doesn't flip-flop and go over to the right side a whole lot. He's a left side guy. There's a comfort level, just like a left tackle, an offensive left tackle, and an offensive right tackle. When you make the switch, it's just like your feet are different, right?
Right.
It's completely different. The way you step, the way you approach a tackle. And so I think that Josh is better on the outside of the left, and I definitely think that Trayvon is more comfortable outside on the right. And could they get more comfortable? Sure, by splitting time. But it's almost where you want to become an expert in your craft. It's hard to be an expert unless you live on that street all, you know, full time. You know, you want to make sure if you want to know your neighborhood, live in that neighborhood. You know what I mean? So if you want to be really good on the right, you stay on the right. You want to be really good on the left, you stay on the left. But I think that there will be times to where you have guys standing up and moving around at some point, just to maybe take advantage of the confusion factor, to maybe trick a young quarterback and who's coming, who's not, who's rushing from where are they eventually going to end up. So you want to kind of keep that in your pocket a little bit. And maybe Doug is totally blowing a line of smoke.
He might be.
And
week one, September 11th, he's going to unleash the beast.
And maybe they might start flip-flopping him all the time. You know, and he's, fooled you, all you offensive coordinators that were reading the Jaguars press clippings in the preseason.
That's right.
You never know.
You never know. It's a poker game, right?
Why not?
Keep your cards close to the vest.
Well, I will say that they do have a little element of surprise. And why not take advantage of it? This is it's a new staff. It's a, you know, if you look at the offense, and people say, well, it's Doug Peterson's offense. Sure it is. But he also has Press Taylor as an offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. He also has Mike McCoy as a quarterback's coach, who has been a coordinator, head coach. Jim Bob Cooter, who is the passing game coordinator. There's a lot of people that can provide input.
Trevor Lawrence can provide some input, too.
Absolutely. So this is, and we've said this in years past, but the reality is true, and that every year you're creating, with a new staff, you're creating something that's the Jaguars' offense. It's not just Doug's offense or just Trevor's offense. Now, if Trevor was like Peyton Manning, and remember when Peyton Manning made the move from Indy to go to Denver, well, Denver started running Peyton's offense.
Good idea.
Because that's what he was comfortable with.
Yeah.
Okay. So
listen, you know, Peyton, we're going to make you fly
away.
I know you're coming off a neck thing, you know, but we want you to learn this new language as well and this new system.
It was just like Tom Brady going from New England to Tampa.
Yeah.
Do you think that it became all, it's Bruce Arians' offense here. Well, yeah, it was some of Bruce's, but it was also, you know, no risk it, no biscuit, Bruce Arians.
I'm aware.
But then a lot of it was Tom Brady's comfort level and the concepts that he was familiar with. That's just the way it works.
Hey, there's a battle going on the offensive line logs, and we're going to come back and hear about.
One settled and one still ongoing.
Yeah.
Kind of settled, I guess you could say one of them is.
Kind of. More settled than it has been.
Apparently more settled.
One is raging.
One of them is rocking and rolling now.
We'll hear from Doug Peterson on that right tackle battle for the Jaguars when we return. It's the Doug Peterson Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back. The Doug Peterson Show continues right now.
Welcome back to the Doug Peterson Show, presented by the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles. And the Steelers-Jaguars game coming up Saturday, preseason week 2. The game presented by Pet Paradise, with over 50 locations to serve pet fanatics like you nationwide. Book today at petparadise.com. Pet Paradise, the official pet care provider of the Jacksonville Jaguars. J.P. Shadrick with Jeff Loggeman. There is a raging battle on the offensive line. There are two, actually, but one is, I guess, really starting to go now in preseason week 2. It's the right tackle position. Walker Little, Jawan Taylor. Taylor's the incumbent. Walker Little now in his second year. Got some time late last season. All right, so where are they? Doug Peterson, earlier today before practice, gave us an update.
It's an interesting battle. You know, I think this game will be important for both players. You know, and I like how Juwan's responded coming off the injury and how he played last week and how he's practiced. Walker's done an outstanding job as well. So it's very interesting, you know, for us. We're kind of in a good spot with it, because you can kind of go either way, and the other guy can be the swing tackle or whatever. So I think this week will be important, and then even when we go to Atlanta and practice against Atlanta, will be another good opportunity for both of them.
All right, so from that, Logs, they are far from finished in this battle. They've got a lot of work to do.
I think it's an interesting battle. The Hall of Fame game, Walker Little played well. Jawan Taylor was out with an injury, I think a hamstring, and you're like thinking, okay, Walker Little's winning this because Jawan is unavailable, and you're basing his performance on his performance in the past. Well, Jawan comes back. He's practicing pretty good. It's not perfect. And then I thought Walker Little took a step back against Cleveland as far as the performance that he had in the game. And then his practice yesterday, I didn't think it was great. And Smoot put him on his can in a pass rush move one time, that was kind of embarrassing. I mean, it can happen, but that's not kind of what you want to have happen. You know what I mean? So I think this battle is open, and I think it's going to go all the way until you get to Flowery Branch. And but the sooner you get it resolved, I think the better, because you know the whole thing about offensive line is continuity, working together, comfort with the guy beside you, having that kind of unspoken understanding of where your guy's going to be and when he needs to be there. And when you're constantly churning who's in the lineup at right tackle, because in practice they're alternating like every snap or every two snaps.
Yeah, every few plays it feels like.
Sometimes in a competition you'll rotate every series, but they've been doing it every couple plays. And look, they've been very civil with each other. They're high-fiving each other on the way in and out, and it's, you know, it's
I've talked to both of them this week, and, both said that. It's all fine. Their teammates are going to help each other out, and then whoever wins the job wins it.
Yeah, so as long as it makes the position better, then good. But you want to make sure that also that you don't lose sight of the fact that you need to make your five better. And so the sooner that you can resolve it, the better. You know, left guard, Barch was inserted in as the starter yesterday.
Yes.
And Shatley was moved back to what Shatley's perfect role is, which is as a backup center swing guy on game day. First guy in on any of those three interior spots, that's where his value is. Smart, tough, available, strong. That's Shatley, you know.
Yeah, he was snapping for the second team offense today. Yes.
Right. And he did take some snaps yesterday when Barch ended up going out with sickness, illness, heat, dehydration, whatever it
all
was.
All the above, maybe.
Yeah, whatever it was. But, you know, so and Barch has got to work to get better, too. He's got to work to find that continuity with Cam and work to find that continuity with the young center, Luke Fortner. And a battle at right tackle is something that I think is going to be an incredible watch. If you're watching preseason football on television, watch the right tackles. I mean, first of all, watch Trevor Lawrence, okay?
Thank you.
And watch Trevor Lawrence with the new pieces of the
Christian
weapons.
Kirk, but they won't have time if the right tackle is a spinning top. So,
well, I mean, there's a lot of things to watch, but that's something that if right tackle is the most watched position, then you know you're doing pretty good. It's better than Pittsburgh's situation where they're trying to figure out who the quarterback is, and way better than Cleveland's situation where they're going, okay, now what do we do with these last 2 weeks of preseason, and who are we going to get reps going into the season? Because Deshaun's now been suspended 11. For 11 games and a $5 million fine that'll be given to charity. And, oh, by the way, he's innocent, he said. He's innocent, didn't do anything wrong.
Just remember, it could always be worse.
Yeah. You know,
so things are going okay.
That's the most bizarre thing ever.
Things are going okay down here.
That's like, you want to talk about bizarro.
I really don't want to talk about bizarro.
I know, but it is totally bizarro.
I think I'm good. Let's come back, and we'll hear from Doug Peterson on the Episcopal School and the host of the last 3 weeks of training camp. This is the Doug Peterson Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back. The Doug Peterson Show continues right now.
My hat's off to Episcopal for allowing us to, come out here and sort of invade their space a little bit. Also to our grounds crew to put these fields down and really a lot of work and a lot of man hours went into getting us over here. From the buses every day to. Just the timing of everything, and I just can't say enough good things about this situation. The guys have really enjoyed it, kind of getting away from our building a little bit and getting outside here, and it's been really good, and we've been very fortunate to have this.
That's head coach Doug Peterson. This is the Doug Peterson Show, and if you're watching on Jaguars.com or Jaguars social media, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube, you're taking a look at some of the construction of those fields at Episcopal. They took out the old fields and put in brand new turf, and it turned out fantastic. And the Episcopal soccer and lacrosse teams will practice out there moving forward. So really great surface, and thanks again to the folks at Episcopal. And today after practice, in fact, Doug Peterson invited
the head of school, the Reverend Adam Green, and the director of athletics, Andy Kidd, to break down the team. They talked to the team after practice today.
Nice.
So that was pretty cool.
Nice. Yeah, the fields probably might be underwater right now.
They might, yeah,
it's getting
right.
A little wet here in Jacksonville.
Good
right
thing
now.
They got the practice in this morning, which was part of the idea, right? Doug Peterson said, hey, it's going to rain every afternoon. Let's get out there in the morning, 8:30, and be out of there by 11:30 at the latest. That's smart.
It's one of the best practice surface fields that I have seen the Jaguars practice on. I mean, it was incredible. Level, the grass, perfect. You wouldn't even know that they've been practicing on it for, what, 14 days,
13 practices over 14 days.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's just it looks still brand new. It looks like nothing's really impacted at all. So credit to the grounds crew. They've done an amazing job.
And he mentioned there the folks with the Jaguars who kind of put the schedule together and worked it out. They started doing that in April. I mean, when they had to figure out, okay, where are we actually going for training camp, and worked it out with Episcopal and made all that happen. It's a lot more than just showing up with a bus full of football players, trust me. And the ability to get that field ready, and then the logistics of getting the team over there and back, the security involved, even overnight to keep things safe that are out there. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. So
a lot of effort and a lot of money.
A lot. And, hey, you know what? It's going to pay off, because next year the Jaguars are scheduled to be in the Miller Electric Center just outside TIAA Bank Field. There will be about 2,100, a little more than 2,100 seats available for training camp next year on the two outdoor fields. And then, of course, the 125,000-square-foot building that's next door to it. It's going to be unbelievable.
Think about that.
That's a lot.
Over 100,000 square feet. That's
a lot of room for activities.
That's immense.
Yes.
And then still have the ability to keep a lot of the business side of things still operating in the stadium. I mean, that's a big, big building, and it's going to be beautiful. I can't wait to see it.
The city and the Jaguars went in a half and half on that project, and it should be really, I think, the start of something special around the stadium down here. And moving ahead, of course, next, the Shipyards is next on the docket after that. And we'll see. We're going to start seeing things come out of the ground very soon over there.
I'm looking forward to seeing some winning come out of the ground of this football team
right?
This year, JP. And that's
like
what I'm looking forward to with Doug at the helm and Trevor at the helm. That's what I am most looking forward to. Wins, W's.
That's what it's all about. Let's come back. We'll hear from Doug Peterson ahead, the Jaguars and the Steelers coming up this Saturday in preseason week 2. And this is the Doug Peterson Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back. The Doug Peterson Show continues right now.
I just think it was warm and humid yesterday. I mean, it wasn't, I think it was in the 67 percentile as far as humidity goes. I'm, you know, meteorologist now, but yeah, it was warm yesterday.
And
I don't know that part, but it was warm yesterday, and also coming off a day off. You know, we've seen that this year when you get a day off and you try to come back and work, but guys do a good job of taking care of their bodies. They understand. You know, we're playing in the heat and humidity, and you know, we play at 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoons at the bank. So, you know, we got to prepare for that.
Head coach Doug Peterson called it the bank. I love that. Welcome back. It's the Doug Peterson Show. No Doug Peterson with us in the preseason. And, it's training camp. There are meetings. There's a lot going on right now ahead of this preseason week 2 game at the bank this Saturday.
He's got the lingo down.
Yes, he does. The Steelers and the Jaguars coming up. And, yes, it was hot. It has been hot most of camp.
That's how it works, man.
Florida.
When you live here for a while, you kind of figure out that in the morning the humidity is incredibly high, and you get no breeze until the afternoon. So that's just the way it is. But would you rather wait and try to dodge lightning in the afternoon by having the practice then? No thanks.
No.
So you just suck it up and you practice once a day. So it's doable. You can handle it. No problem.
They got it done,
yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah, just look.
You know, it's going to be hotter next week in Flowery Branch. Apparently, it's been red hot there.
It can be, but the humidity here is what, you know, especially in the morning, the humidity can be incredibly high. But I mean, look, the reality is that this is where you play, and it's a home field advantage. And when you acclimate to it, and when you learn to adjust your body to it, when you are getting to the point where you know how to hydrate, you know how to get prepared for a game and how to hydrate for a game, there's been many a teams that have come in here and have gotten slapped upside the head from the heat and humidity, and they can't deal with it at all. And I can tell you that from years of playing in New York, when the schedule came out, the first thing that I looked at was, when did we play the Miami Dolphins? For real. And the reason I looked was because I was hoping that we would play Miami early in the season, because at least you have some kind of being used to the heat. Because if you had to come down to Miami in November or in December, well, it's 45 degrees high in New York at that time, and you're not used to the heat. And you come down in the heat, and you get gassed. So this is an advantage, and you have to look at it from that aspect. And when you do, and you realize that this is what we plan, this is our advantage, it gives you a mindset that I'm tougher than him, because this is my house and this is my environment. I'm ready for it. I am acclimated. They're not, and I'm going to be tougher than they are. That's the mindset you have to have as a team.
The Jaguars earlier this week released veteran defensive tackle Malcolm Brown. He was traded over to the Jaguars before last season from the New Orleans Saints. Mm-hmm. Had plenty of time, of course, with the New England Patriots. Couple Super Bowl rings with them. Why the move, Logs, and what do they do now at that spot? Or are they good?
Well, we talked a little bit about that. I mean, you did, and that I told you that I didn't think Malcolm Brown was playing very well. That's what I saw. And this is a production business, and when your performance isn't where it has been or where it needs to be, then they're going to move on. And I think out of respect for him, they allowed him an early release with an opportunity to maybe catch on sooner rather than later. But the reality is that he was not playing well. And Devon Hamilton has been playing better than him. And to be perfectly honest with you, Gossis is playing better than what Malcolm Brown was playing. And so that was all performance. There's nothing else to that other than performance.
Because he seemed like a good guy to have around the locker room, actually.
There's no, he got in trouble broke curfew and are making an example. I mean, none of that.
He's the guy
you want. This is performance. Yeah. I mean, he's good guy, quality guy, wasn't playing well. And when you don't play well, you got to move on to the players that are playing well, because you're taking away the opportunities for them to get better, to continue to give reps to a guy that's not playing well. And not playing well for, I mean, it wasn't a health issue or anything else. So just time to kind of turn the page.
You know, social media is a buzz a lot about a bunch of different things, Logs. Yesterday, social media was a buzz.
About?
Because they wanted the Jaguars to sign Ndamukong Suh, who is a free agent.
I'm all for it.
Sue's what, 35?
It doesn't matter. He's still a good player.
Okay, yeah. But
okay,
let's
go.
Would he? You would be for that?
Heck yeah.
Would he be for that is the question.
It's just, you know, what's the number? You know, he's been making $8-10 million a year.
Do the Jaguars have that room right now?
I don't know. I don't know, but
some
I can tell you.
Math over there.
Ndamukong Suh is a really good football player. He's incredibly strong. You know, a lot of people say, where would he play? He would be one of your defensive ends. One thing you can do, and this whole Malcolm Brown, Malcolm typically was the nose tackle. Okay, so Devon Hamilton, Malcolm Brown, they were, when you're in your big package or your base package, you would have Malcolm Brown and Devon Hamilton as your nose tackle. Okay, there's your first and second team nose tackle.
Right over the center.
Right. And then on your defensive end, you had Foley Fatakasi from the Jets, the free agent that you got, big man, and then you got Roy Robertson-Harris at the other defensive end.
Another big man, yes.
Okay, your next backup's probably Smoot, obviously, because Smoot's a good football player. But, I mean, as far as big guys go, it's probably a Gotsis. Now, what do you do, okay, if you needed somebody to play nose tackle? Fatakasi can play nose tackle, no problem. I mean, he's a big man, big man, big man, big strong man, can play. So it's not like he's a defensive end and only a defensive end. So if you can maybe play some other defensive end at the defensive end spot, you could move Fatakasi for some reps in at the nose tackle position.
But Jay Tufele,
he's not showing much yet.
Okay.
You know, this is a production. Again, this is a production-based business. Mm-hmm. And Jay Tufele hasn't earned that yet. And I hope he does, but as of right now, I don't see that earned playtime. And is he, think about him last year. I mean, was he active one time?
I don't remember it.
Yeah, and then this year, from what I've seen on film, he's got a lot of work to do.
We'll return. Plenty more ahead. The Jaguars and the Steelers coming up this Saturday evening at TIAA Bank Field. And this is the Doug Peterson Show on the Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back to the Doug Peterson Show, presented by the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles. The Jags and the Steelers coming up. Preseason week two this Saturday night at TIAA Bank Field. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, glad you're with us. No Doug Peterson on this show in the preseason. They're busy getting ready for the game. Training camp is here. Grind mode is here. That's what it is this time of year.
That's what you got to do.
Trying to win football games here.
Those coaches now, from the time the football season starts until it ends, there's not a whole lot of time to be spent anywhere than grinding on the job. That job's not for everybody now.
No, it's not. It is not. It rarely ends. And you know how you win football games is with strong special teams units.
And great players on those special teams.
That's right. So that'll be a focus, of course, in the next this week, certainly. And then really in preseason week three, the final game, when you're trying to carve down and figure out who's going to make that final cut, a lot of that will come down to how some of these players perform on special teams. And, Logs, we always say that, you got to perform on special teams. But what are you really looking at when you're looking at a special teams player?
Well, because the reality is a lot of people try to, you know, because you got the stay-at-home general managers that are trying to cut the Jaguars roster, right?
And like Pete Prisco?
Well, and you know, some of the guys that are in the media, they all try to figure out the Jaguars roster.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they're looking at it from the perspective of, okay, let's look at one position, let's say linebacker. Okay, who's the best linebackers to keep? Well, you look at who's the best linebackers to keep for the first and the second and then probably the third player. But then after that, the fourth player, you start to weight special teams in that decision-making. Now, you're definitely because your backups have to all play. But how good of a – you might keep a player who is actually better on special teams but not as good of a linebacker, because the role he's going to fill is not as a starting linebacker. The role he's going to fill is as a core four special teams player. Give you another example, like the safeties the Jaguars have. Let's look at that position, because I'm going to tell you, this is a position that's strong when it comes to special teams. Sisco and Rayshon Jenkins are going to have limited special teams exposure.
Because they're starting.
They're going to be playing every snap on defense, okay? Andrew Wingard, special teams core guy. Daniel Thomas, special teams core guy. Rudy Ford,
absolutely
special teams core guy.
One of the best gunners in the league.
Here's another one that's an excellent special teams player, but then you start to issue. You talk about numbers. How many can you keep? Rusnak. It's one of those guys that, you'd love to keep because of special teams, but can you do it? Can you keep, two starters and four backups at that safety position? You can't, So special teams, always a factor. And me and you had this conversation today, and I was pointing something out to you.
Yeah, and this is what Heath Farwell actually talked about this last week also.
Did he?
Press conference, yes.
Okay, when you want to find out who coaches trust, I mean really trust on special teams, look at who's playing on punt protection. I'm not saying the gunners, okay? I'm talking about the guys that prevent a block punt. Those are the guys that the special teams coordinator and the head coach trust, because a block punt by itself can lose you a game, no matter how good your offense and your defense is. You have to trust those guys to protect the punt. And when you are evaluating roster and you're okay, you want to do that play at home general manager, take a look at who the special teams coach is playing on punt protection. And then the guys that you see on that first unit in preseason, those are the guys that he believes he can trust until they prove otherwise. And then in the second team unit as well, because there's only so many spots to play guys on punt protection. And you're going to trust the guys on punt protection. So that's like a little indicator for you.
I'd love to see the stats on how many what the record is when you have a punt blocked in a game. And
your win percentage, I want to say the win percentage, and I saw this stat somewhere. If you allow a score on special teams or there was a stat for that and there's another one for a blocked punt, the score on special teams, I want to say your chances of winning is like 20%.
Wow.
And then blocked punt, I want to say it ends up somewhere around your chances of winning are like 35 or 40%. It's not very good. Something like that. It's all what do they call the number stuff?
The analytics?
The analytics of it all. Thank you, JP.
Right.
I'm still getting with the
analytics guy over here. Yeah. Logs. Big analytics guy.
Well, Tony Khan's got, I mean, him and I have actually talked about this, and there's a lot of numbers. I mean, you know, for example, like when an offense gets the ball and they start, let's say, on the 20 to the 25, what's the percentage of scoring? And what's the percentage of scoring when they start at the 30 to the 35 or the 35 to the 40? The numbers just continue to grow exponentially when you're talking about the analytics of starting field position for an offense. It's crazy.
Let's come back in a moment. Our final thoughts ahead of the Steelers-Jaguars matchup this Saturday at the Bank. And this is the Doug Peterson Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back. The Doug Peterson Show continues right now.
We're back. It's the Doug Peterson Show. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, the Jaguars, and the Pittsburgh Steelers, the old rivals.
Lots to look forward to in this game, JP.
Like what?
Well, first of all, the one thing that I always look forward to at this point is Trevor Lawrence. You want to see progress. You want to see him starting to own the offense. And then with his new weapons that he has, Zay Jones has obviously been talked about a lot this week by Chris Taylor. Yeah. And he's had a great camp so far. But this is going to be the debut for Jaguar fans for Christian Kirk, the prize free agent acquisition, who is an incredibly quarterback-friendly wide receiver. Looking forward to all of these guys playing together on offense. And then defensively, Trayvon Walker, I just can't take my eyes off of him. I mean, I just literally, the guy is fun to watch. He's strong. He's athletic. But then this week, we got a matchup that consists of a couple more Georgia Bulldogs.
Oh, that's right.
And that's Tyson Campbell and then the Pittsburgh Steelers second-round pick, Pickens.
George Pickens.
Pickens. Yeah. And everything that's being broadcast or reported out of Steelers camp is that this guy is ridiculous. In fact, Deontay Johnson was one of the guys that was singing his praises saying, this guy's phenomenal. Well, I can't wait to see the matchup of Tyson versus him. I hope we get it because that's something that that I would have my popcorn ready for.
I think Tyson would ask for it. Just
absolutely.
Knowing him,
even though Tyson doesn't flip sides,
hey, he might that week. You know, who knows?
Yeah, but in preseason you're not doing any of that stuff. But by the way, just another little side note here. Me and JP were at practice today, and we kind of hang out practice and talk with each other about practice and watch
and some other things.
We don't
too.
Gossip the whole time like, you know, Pete Prisco does in practice. We actually watch practice.
We watch and practice. That's what we do.
Logan Cook was ridiculous today.
If the Jaguars offense bogs down at midfield, well, he's probably going to put it inside the five.
He put on a lesson in Canton, and then today in the drill, it was just effortless punting to where he was at midfield. And he literally is dropping the ball at the 3-yard line, inside the 5, inside the 10, every time. It was like, this is too easy for him.
That'll do it for our show tonight. Joe Fortunato, Brent Reber, David Cho, Kate Wosky for Jeff Lagerman. I'm JP Shadrick. We'll catch you next time. This has been the Doug Peterson Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.